Our God is faithful. Now, every one of those words are very important. Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. It is demonstrated clearly in the Christmas story. From the sin of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, there was a promise made that the Lord spoke to the serpent and said, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he is going to crush your head. Hey, God, the faithful God, is reaching out to sinful man with the beginning message, the proto-evangelium, the first gospel, the message of the glorious impossible. He would say in Genesis 12, Abram through you, all of the world is going to be blessed. He would say in Genesis chapter 49 and verse number 10 that their scepter is never going to leave the tribe of Judah. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and speaking of David, he would say, David, there is one who is going to sit on your throne forever. Isaiah, 600 years before Jesus would come, would put it this way. Behold, a virgin, born of a virgin, the seed of the woman, born of a virgin, his name will be called Emmanuel. Micah would say he would be born in Bethlehem. Our God is faithful. The overshadowing picture of the Christmas story is a picture of the faithfulness of God. But it's not just the Christmas story, it's the whole gospel story. As you would look at the awesome, unbelievable writing of Isaiah in Isaiah 53, where he would come and be rejected by men, where we would experience forgiveness. He would be wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace would be put upon him, and by his stripes we would be healed, because all we like sheep have gone astray and we've turned each one to his own way, but God laid on him the iniquity of us all. The message of Christmas, the message of the gospel, is a picture that God is faithful. I don't know what you're going through today. Some of you may be in the midst of life transition, or maybe just life has you tired. Maybe there's physical issues in your life you've not even told your closest friends, or there's a family difficulty, or there's strain in a relationship, or there's financial hardship that you've not shared with anyone else. Our God is faithful. Take your Bibles with me and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. I want us to think about the faithfulness of God this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God. He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. He is God, the faithful God. And with that, let's pray. Lord, in the moments we have together, would you speak to us, illuminate our mind, fill our heart with this truth, you are faithful. Lord, there are some in a dark spot today, and they need the glory and light of the faithful God to shine through, and I pray you'd speak to them. Lord, for those who are discouraged, Lord, for those who are tired and weary, for those who may be filled with questions today, would you show yourself as the faithful God. In your name, amen. The faithful God. As we think throughout eternity past and into eternity future, there has never, ever been a moment when God has not been faithful. There will never be a moment when God is not faithful. If you look at the context of Deuteronomy chapter 7, we find that the children of Israel are now entering into the promised land. A couple weeks ago, we finished the Ten Commandments, and we looked at the Ten Commandments out of Exodus chapter 20. About 3 months out of Egypt, the children of Israel were given these Ten Commands that God said, look, this is the way. This is not how you come to a relationship with me, but this is the path of love. A loving father sets guidelines and guardrails up so that the children of Israel will walk with him and they will walk in his direction and under his protection. Now, in Deuteronomy, we find that the Lord is repeating a lot of the things he had said earlier in Exodus to a new generation. They were unfaithful to take the land, the promised land. So remember, for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. And as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, that generation died off. Now the new generation, the new up and coming, those teenagers and young men who watched their fathers and grandfathers pass away now are preparing to enter into the promised land. And the Lord reminds them in Deuteronomy chapter 5, just two chapters previous to what we looked at today, that he is a God who still has commands, direction, and protection for our life. So in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we find that the Ten Commandments are repeated. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have the standout verses of the Old Testament, the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And he goes on to say that wonderful passage that Jesus would remind us of in the New Testament, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. The center of Deuteronomy 5 and Deuteronomy chapter 6, and then we come to Deuteronomy 7. And in the opening verses of Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Lord says to Israel, I didn't choose you and put my affection and show love to you because you were great. It's not because you were just wonderful people and mighty and strong and intelligent. No, I just chose to love you. And out of my love and grace to you, I want you to know that I'm here. I'm faithful. I am your God, and I am a faithful God. Throughout Scripture, as we picture the faithfulness of God, Jeremiah, as he would pen in Lamentations 3:23, that great verse, great is thy faithfulness. Or in Psalm 36, as the psalmist would say, Lord, your mercies are in the heavens, that your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Or in Psalm 89, where the psalmist would say, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. God's faithfulness is great, God's faithfulness is infinite, and God's faithfulness is absolutely, unequivocally unfailing. And so, in Psalm 89, he says, man, I'm going to sing of God's faithfulness and of his mercy that he has shown to me. This morning, that's where I want us to focus on and think about the faithfulness of God. We're going to do things a little bit different. Most of the time we open Scripture and we take one paragraph or one verse and kind of begin to pull all the points out of that and focus on that. But this morning I want us to do something a little bit different. It's a picture of throughout Scripture systematically how we see the faithfulness of God apply to our life. How does God's faithfulness apply to my in and out life every day? So I want us to think about 9 different areas of our life and think about how God shows himself faithful in each of these. First off, God is faithful in our walk. So walk with him. God's faithful. As we walk through our life and as we journey through the mountains, as we journey through the valleys, as we trudge through the days when we're weary and the days when we feel weak and the days when we're vibrant and the days when there's a song on our lips, let me tell you, our God is absolutely faithful. Our emotions may change, our circumstances may change, but God, our faithful God, does not change. There's a verse over in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 11 and verse number 12. And it says this, Ephraim has encircled with me with lies. That's the 10 northern tribes. They have turned away from the Lord, and the Assyrians are about to come and capture them. But he goes on to say, but Judah still walks with God, even with the Holy One, who is faithful. In your walk, can I tell you, you will never walk alone if you're one of His. There will be days when you will be stuck in the arm and given a little night-night medicine and taken into a white, sterile room where you will face a surgery, and you will not face that alone. There will be days when there is a test or a trial or an accident or a difficulty or a challenge or a financial crisis. And I want to tell you, our God is faithful when we walk. Now, the challenging times of our life is to remember the faithful God when we get the extra bonus and when our kids are well and when everything else is going good in our life. It's easy just to look at me and say, man, woo, everything is great. But God is faithful. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy 2:13 makes it as clear as anything when he says this. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, even if we are faithless, he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. Our God is faithful when we walk. Secondly, our God is faithful when we pray. Our God's faithful when we pray. So seek him. Back in Psalm 143, as we think about the faithfulness and the work and the action of God, he challenges us to seek him. Psalm 143, verse number 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness. Jeremiah would cry out in Jeremiah 33:3. The Lord would speak through him and say, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jesus would accent and act in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, where he'd say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. When we pray, God is faithful. Now, it's easy to say amen to that, but the challenge is are we on our knees and are we seeking his face through the week? God is faithful in our walk. God's faithful when we pray. Thirdly, God is faithful when we are tempted. God is faithful when we are tempted. So you need to look for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13 is actually preceded by verse number 12, where it says, hey, you better be careful how you stand lest you fall. And then in verse number 13, he says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. God is faithful that when I am tempted, he will provide a way of escape that I may be able to bear it. Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Remember that? Some of you do. The challenge of our life is God says, whenever you face temptation in your life, I put a governor on it. I have my control over it, and it will never be stronger than you, through the power of God's Spirit in you, will be able to bear. Now, I have to admit, I have no excuse for any sin that I commit in my life. There are no excuses. Last Friday night, we were putting up our Christmas tree. And around our house with four boys, us guys, just we're not that into the decoration business, okay? I mean, it's just part of being a guy, I guess, at our house. But, you know, so there's a lot of chatter and not always as much work as you would want to get done. So things were dragging on. But I had a very busy day. I'd done a lot of things. I actually took a vacation day, but I worked harder at home that day than I do here at the office most days, because most of the time I get to study and dig into God's Word, and it's awesome and wonderful. But it was just a day of work. I mean, waiting in line at the DMV and going and doing some stuff. I had to get up on my roof and just do a bunch of things, and I had been busy all day. And I will be honest, I had too many Diet Dr. Peppers or Diet Mountain Dews that day. And so by nighttime, I was tired and I was a little edgy. And then it's time to put up the Christmas tree. We get everything up. We get the tree up. We start putting lights on, and we've got about 5 strands of lights on. And Julie says, "Hey, you guys left the tag on the Christmas lights. You know, there's a little tag on them that has a couple of extra bulbs." I said, "Look, it's in the back. Leave it alone." She said, so she goes and gets a pair of scissors. The tree is lit up. She cuts, and everything on the tree goes dark. Now, I am tired, and I am on edge already. And I know at this moment my marriage is hanging in the balance. So I did the only thing that I thought would be wise at that moment, and Julie laughed at me the whole way. I walked outside. And I stayed outside until I could get happy enough to come inside. Oh, it gets better. So then she takes that strand off after having the other 3 intertwined, and she puts another strand up, and she takes the end of the strand she puts up with the other end of the strand she puts up and puts them together and says, "They won't come on." So now I'm digging through, trying to figure out all of how the electric is working and through all of this, when she actually has the same Christmas lights plugged into each other. I was not singing, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we hear thee lie." I was thinking more like, "You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch." So anyway, the challenge of our life is that we all face temptation. And how we handle that temptation has profound effects upon our life, that God provides a way of escape. And fortunately, at that moment, when my family is inside with the tree, probably most people were wondering, why is Pastor Buddy standing in the front yard? But the reality is there. There are sometimes we just need to move and get away. Thirdly, the challenge is when we do fail, and when we do sin, or fourthly, when we do fail and when we do sin, that God's faithful. God's faithful when we fail and when we sin. It is amazing that God would love us so much that said, "Look, I'm going to put a governor on all the temptations of your life so that you're not going to be tempted above what you are able. But I know you're going to fail, and I know you're going to sin, and so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to provide a way of forgiveness." So that 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just. Listen, the justice of God was shown clearly through the life and death of Christ, through his resurrection. The justice of God was poured upon Jesus, but God is faithful to forgive us of our sin. If you ever have that time you think, "I've gone too far, or I've done something too bad, or I have failed one too many times," you go back to 1 John 1:9, and you look at the fact that God is faithful. God's faithful. He's faithful in our walk and in our prayer and when we're tempted and when we sin. And he's faithful when we are disciplined. God's faithful when we are disciplined. Yes, sometimes when we sin, God has to lay out discipline in our heart and life. And sometimes that may be a removal of blessings. Sometimes God will bring things that will take us out to the woodshed. And he has to get our attention. But even through the discipline, God is absolutely faithful to us. In Lamentations chapter 3, as Jeremiah is watching, listen, I mentioned earlier in Hosea 11, Hosea was preaching to the northern tribes and they had gone off. Now Jeremiah is preaching to the 2 southern tribes that are left. And he cries out and laments over the fact that now Babylon has come in and overtaken God's people. and they're getting carried off into a foreign land. This is where Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were carried off. And in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 22 through 24, it says, through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. Oh, His compassions, they do not fail. Notice verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. Some of you may be paying the consequences for a sin that you committed, and I want to tell you that God will walk every step of the way with you through the down and the dirty times of our life when we have to face the sowing and reaping of our own life. See, most of us want to sow those wild oats and then pray for crop failure. You know, I mean, Lord, we want to do what we want, and then God, just make all the consequences go away. But the Lord says, look, I'm going to go with you. And He walked with Daniel, and He walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And He not only walked with them, but He brought Nehemiah back. He was faithful. Absolutely faithful. Next, God's faithful when we serve. God's faithful when we serve. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, as we think of God's faithfulness in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, He shows Himself strong and mighty as we face the challenges of life. We pick up in verse number 1, Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly. Wouldn't you say, man, Lord, as we go out this week, may Your word run swiftly through our lives. God, may You change other people, and may the words of our mouth impact and bring conviction and draw people to Jesus as we walk. God, may Your word run swiftly. He says, and that we may be delivered in verse number 2 from unreasonable and wicked men who do not have faith. He says, Lord, I'm praying, and I'm asking the church at Thessalonica to pray for me that God's word may run swiftly. But there are some evil guys out there who are trying to put a damper on the word. And then in verse number 3, he comes to that verse that we're looking at. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things that are command that we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. The Lord's faithful. Sunday school teacher, when you're struggling to get that lesson this week and you're struggling on your time, you pause and remember the faithfulness of the Lord. When you seek to witness to that man across the way as you're waiting in a line somewhere, or as you seek to share the message of the gospel and God's love with that checker at the store, or when you go across the street to invite your neighbor and they respond in a way that is hurtful and painful, the Lord is faithful, and He is going to establish you. He's going to root you in, and He is going to guard you. The Lord is faithful as you serve. You know, some of you will only experience the faithfulness of God in service as you faithfully serve. And you may not experience the faithfulness of God in this way until you're doing something where He will have to show Himself faithful in this way. I'd encourage you, you need to put on the uniform, get in the game, and do something that matters for the Lord. And then you'll find, you know what? He does establish. He is the one who will guard me as I walk forward and do and seek to do His will. But what about when I hurt? What about when I struggle? What about when there's troubles in my life? God's faithful when my life is difficult. Serving can be challenging, but what about when life itself is just difficult? I mean, there's hurt and heartache, or a kid is sick, or the finances haven't come in. Where is God then? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator who made you. You can look at your parents and say, well, you know, my mom and dad, I will tell you, you are here by the sovereign and purposeful will of God, and you can commit yourself to Him when life has and faces its turmoils and troubles, and when we seem like our life is falling apart. You commit your soul to Him, and He will see you through. All right, you with me? We're 7 down, 2 to go, all right? This is a little different. Try to get 9 points done in one sermon. I mean, and try to do that in a timely fashion. All right, everybody with me? Good, let's think about our future. Man, as we think about the future today, there are many who would think, man, I sure would hate to be raising kids in this day. Man, I'm sure glad that I'll be out of here when the worst hits. Well, we don't know that. The challenge of our life is that none of us know the future, and none of us know our future. But there is a sense of hopefulness that needs to come as we face the future. The book of Hebrews was written to believers who had come out of Judaism, and now because they had come out of Judaism and were following Christ, they were being kicked out of their homes, they were being ostracized from their families, they were being persecuted, and in Hebrews chapter 10, the Lord has a word to say to those who are facing the challenges of the future. Man, they didn't know what was going to happen the next day. Would someone come knock on their door and come and take their children away because they said that they were following Jesus? Would someone come extinguish their own life because they said yes to Jesus? Would their family say, look, you're not welcome here anymore because you have said yes to Jesus? And in Hebrews chapter 10, he says that we are to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. God is faithful to your tomorrow. It's not that we look at the scripture and just say, man, God has shown Himself faithful. No, we can look to the future and say, God will show Himself faithful. His name is the I Am, not the I Was. His name shows, and His character shows from Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 9. He is God, our faithful God. He hasn't brought you this far to show Himself unfaithfully to your tomorrow. He has not walked with you, brought you to Christ, brought you into His family, adopted you, welcomed you, shown His love to you, so that tomorrow He could boot you out and say, you are on your own. No, instead, He says, hold on to your hope and you don't waver. Not that the world's not going to shake around us. We don't know what the financial future is going to look like. They can guess. We don't know what the political landscape is going to look like. We can guess. We don't know what the future of following Christ is going to cost. But I can guarantee you, it's going to cost. But He says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, and you hold on to Me and do not waver. When everything else around you shakes, and believers begin to shake and quake, I want you to hold to this truth. I'm here. I'm God. I'm faithful. Maybe some of you, tomorrow, before you read the newspaper, you just need to write above the headlines, God is faithful. And you read the newspaper with that light. That my tomorrow is okay because God is faithful. You say, well, what are they doing to believers? Yeah, they're killing believers, and obviously in the San Bernardino attack, there were believers there. One was a Messianic Jew, another was a Christian father of several children. Could that happen? Can I tell you, it might. Which brings us to our last thought. And that thought is that we can trust God for our eternity. Listen, our time on earth is very short and minuscule in comparison to the time that we are going to spend in eternity. It's short. So rest in Him. That doesn't mean just rest. You realize that while we're here on earth, we have one opportunity to make a difference for the Lord and to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord through the trials and difficulties and suffering of life. Now, we will serve the Lord and worship the Lord in heaven, but listen, it will be absent of all of the trials and difficulties and sins and sorrows. Now is the only time you have to serve Him while there is chaos around you. Now is the only time to do that. But in eternity, you'll be able to rest in Him forever. As 1 Thessalonians reminds us very clearly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people are going to die before Jesus comes. And you know what? You can trust that the Lord is faithful. He who calls you is faithful. And He will do it. You know, the song Joy to the World is a great hymn that was written. But you realize that that song was really not so much about the first coming of Jesus. I hate to ruin a good Christmas song here. But not so much about the first coming of Jesus as it is the second coming of Jesus. You realize that? He rules the world with truth and grace. Is Jesus ruling the world? Well, obviously, in His sovereign control, all things are coming to pass. But really, it's talking about the second coming of Jesus. You know, no more let sorrow, or thorns infest the ground. You know, I mean, we have a lot of sorrow and we have a lot of thorns. But there's going to be a day when it's different. But I want to challenge you with this thought. In Revelation chapter 19, in verse number 11 through 15... when Jesus is coming to rule and reign at the second coming, you know what His name is called? Faithful and true. He who promised is faithful. He will see you through this life. He will see you through eternity. You can trust. The message of the Christmas story is this, that we, all of us, have thought something, said something, done something that has displeased God. And because of that, we are disqualified from a perfect heaven with a perfect God. But God so loved us and was so faithful to us that He sent His Son Jesus, who lived a perfect life and died on the cross to take the punishment for our sin. And He rose again, and He offers us the free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. That's the message of a faithful and loving God who would not be content to sit on the sidelines and watch humanity stray, but would instead say, look, I'm going to intervene so that humanity can be saved. And they can experience Me. And if you've not ever come to that point of experiencing Jesus Christ personally in your life, the message of our faithful God is this. I'm here. I've done all for you to be forgiven and to receive eternal life. And I toss the opportunity to you. How will you respond?